everyone, and welcome to Pop Health Podcast. My name is Gavin Ward, and I'm the host of Pop Health Podcast. And today I'm joined by co-host Ryan Berger. Welcome, Ryan.
Thanks, Gavin. Hi, everybody.
We are really excited. We have two very special guests with us today to talk about care transitions, readmission prevention, and just generally taking care of our patients here in our community. Today we have Debbie Reese from Hoag Hospital. Welcome, Debbie.
Welcome. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. And also Gina Franco, also from Hoag Hospital. Welcome, Gina.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
So these two ladies focus on respiratory conditions at Hoag Hospital, both the Newport Beach campus and the Irvine campus, and we're just really excited to have them here today. Ryan, you actually ran into Gina yesterday, didn't you?
Yes, I was over at Hoag Hospital on the Newport campus, and Gina, you were sharing something with me that I think the audience would find incredibly interesting as far as some of the conferences that you've attended and actually been involved in from a panel discussion perspective. Could you share that with the audience?
Yeah, of course, Ryan. You know, I've been very blessed to be able to speak at a couple of conventions this year. Most importantly, talking about my position at Hoag, which is a new position, pulmonary disease navigation, which is fairly new to the respiratory realm. And we've worked with the American Lung Association. Hoag actually hosted a seminar for their asthma educator course a few months ago. And Debbie also is on the board for the California Society for Pulmonary Rehab. And Debbie...
Yes, we had a state meeting in May, and we hosted a series of conference days. And one of the days we specified we were working on program improvement for pulmonary rehab programs. And we had a panel discussion about our Navigator program and how it related to readmission reduction, and it was very well received. We had our physician and my director and Gina here were great members of the panel to share those items with all our members of pulmonary rehab in our state.
And I know, Ryan, also you were super excited that we're going to be having another respiratory care convention, which Hoag hosts every year, which will be in September of this year.
And is that open to anybody who wants to attend?
It is. People can register online at Hoag.org, and it is open to everyone. There is a registration fee, but there's a discount for students and things like that. It's open to the community.
Great. Thanks so much, Gina, for sharing that information. Now, before we get in more detail about what y'all are doing at Hoag, we want to get to know you both a little bit better. We'll start with Debbie. And Debbie, can you tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into respiratory care, and also something unusual or interesting about you that maybe Gina doesn't know or your colleagues don't know about you?
Well, I got interested in medicine when I was a teenager, and I was a volunteer fireman in a small town in West Virginia. Then I spent 6 years in the Navy where I was a cardiopulmonary tech, and I flew with a MASH unit kind of thing. I came to Hoag 28 years ago. Hoag hired me, and they kind of waited for me to redeploy. I guess that's the little known fact. I had to redeploy after I interviewed and got the job. I had to go back overseas and then come back.
I did not know that.
Oh, funny. And I've been at Hoag 28 years. I have run the Diagnostic Pulmonary Function Lab, where we do breathing exercise altitude tests. I have done some groundbreaking work with our great physicians at Hoag toward altitude simulation testing at different altitudes with exercise that's rarely done in any other place in the country. And now I'm very lucky to run the pulmonary outpatient side of respiratory care, where we do pulmonary rehab, which we're going to be expanding to Irvine this March. And I get to run smoking cessation, the Better Breathers Club, and the Great Navigator Program, and the Great Navigator Programs.
Great. And how about something unusual or interesting that people may not know about you, Debbie?
Oh, let's see. I like to swim and I have cats.
Ah, the cat lady. Got it. Gina, how about a little bit about your background, how you got into respiratory care, and something unusual that folks may not know about you?
Sure. I have a good unusual one because everybody is always shocked to learn that. I actually raise farm animals. Cute little city girl, but actually we raise chickens and rabbits, and I raise endangered desert tortoises, so that's kind of something that's a little different.
And you're raising them here in the Orange County area?
Yeah, or? Anaheim Hills.
Oh, wow. That is...
We got our own little farm going on over there.
Wow, that's great. And tell me a little bit more about how you got into respiratory care and what you're doing now at Hoag.
I'm similar to Debbie. I've actually been in healthcare for over 23 years. I started way back as a teenager. As I got my EMT right out of high school and got into respiratory in 2006. That's when I went back to school and decided I really wanted to focus on a specialty area, and cardiopulmonary was something that I was always very passionate about. Again, very blessed. I got hired at Hoag as a new grad. I started out on graveyard, punching the clock all night long, and I moved into a position as a charge respiratory therapist on day shift. And then last year, was very excited when Debbie and our director actually, I was very lucky, I was approached to do this position. I was actually asked if I would like to be part of the pilot program because it was something brand new that we were starting, and it intrigued me immediately, and I was very excited, and it's just taken off from there.
Debbie, can you tell us a little bit about the development of that program and the position?
Well, we started a COPD disease management team where we got a group of knowledgeable people together to start attacking these kinds of problems. One of the things that drives some hospitals into looking into these things, and in part drove ours, was readmission reduction protocols set by Medicare. So in 2013, one of our department goals that we chose was to see if we could affect readmission reduction on COPD patients for that year, 2 years before Medicare decided we were going to get fined if we did not take care of that. So we had staff come over from the pulmonary rehab department. They would travel over to the hospital, and they kept logs of the patients they saw. And we proved that, yes, we could meet that goal when we spent time with the patients, educating them and getting them better prepared for the home environment in whatever ways we could, that we could make a difference. And that led to the COPD disease management team, where we had our medical director and Dr. Sean Hamilton, who is our medical advisor for process improvement and our slower medical advisor for our Navigator program. And a lot of other people got together and made some plans, looked into some things, made some plans, and it led to the pilot of the Navigator program, which I looked into what they were doing at UC Davis when I wrote the job description, but then I wanted to broaden it to make it more realistic that everybody with a breathing problem doesn't have COPD. So this allowed Gina to see a wider population of patients that she could help.
That's great. Oh,
Gavin, sorry. Real quick, could you explain from a numbers perspective the success rate that this program has had? I don't know if you know the exact numbers specifically from year one to year two.
Well, we are only in our first actual year. We had 6 months when we were in our pilot phase, and Gina could probably speak better numerically since she keeps her own spreadsheets for those kinds of numbers, so she could probably tell us a little bit more about that.
So for the first 6 months of the pilot, we really targeted our patient population. We wanted to make sure we were seeing the correct patients, the patients we felt we could make a difference with in readmission. So we really kept with that pure COPD diagnosis for that first 6 months. We ran the pilot. In that first 6 months, I probably saw an average of about 500 patients personally, where we performed education, plan of care. We were involved in discharge planning and making sure the patient had those resources when they were discharged from the hospital. So in that first 6 months, we went right away from an over 8% readmission rate to 4% readmission rate.
Wow.
Right. And that was strictly from my touching the patient, performing education, and then hugely making sure that they had those resources once they were discharged from the hospital.
That's great. So since you've had success, what are the next steps? What's the hospital looking at in the future?
This role has been evolving every day. As anybody who works in healthcare knows, is right now it's a very dynamic time. There have been, just in the last year, many changes that have come across from CMS, as everyone knows. So we've kind of had to roll with the punches and evolve along with them. And I think that's probably one of the most difficult aspects of the job, but at the same time, it's also the most exciting because we're really poised in a position where we really feel like we can develop a program from the ground up and really do it the right way. So, hands down, working and collaborating with our outside care providers has got to be the number one. We know, I like to think about the patient journey of chronic illness as like the life out in the wilderness in the desert. So if you see the patient out there in the desert, they come into the hospital and it's like we bring them into this five-star hotel. You know, we bring them in out from the wilderness, and they have, you know, and especially at Hope, because we pride ourselves, you know, we have top-notch nurses, we have top-notch physicians, they're getting speech therapy, physical therapy, respiratory therapy, you know, social workers, everything, and we're bulking them up, we're giving them fluids, we're giving them antibiotics, we're getting them better, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're doing so great, and we get to that point of discharge, and it's almost like we open the hotel door, and we just kick them out back into the wilderness, and you know, they're really no better off than the day they came in because, sure, we pumped them up with all these good things while they were in the hospital, but if you don't address the issues that are causing a lot of their symptom management issues at home, you really, maybe best case scenario, a few weeks, a few months, and you're going to see them right back in the hospital again. So working with skilled nursing facilities, home health agencies, and private caregiving organizations that are going to be my eyes and ears on those patients once they get discharged from the hospital.
Thanks for talking about that, Gina. Now, you mentioned a little bit about the post-acute community or the outside care providers. Does Hoag have any collaborations, or what do you look for in these outside care providers?
Well, really, what specifically to my program, we've looked very closely, to be honest with you, in the form of audits, actually. So we've brought the patients in our program to a point where I'm doing weekly and monthly follow-up with them. So not only am I following up with the patient and asking them about the care that they're receiving in these post-acute companies, but we're also going out into the community and performing chart audits and training sessions. We're making sure that the people that we're sending our patients out to are performing at the level that Hoag is performing at. So we want to make sure they're doing best practices for pulmonary patients, for congestive heart failure patients, for diabetes, regardless of what the disease process is. And, me personally, I can speak to the respiratory aspects, but I know we have now in the works, and we're going to be expanding our program to include all of the disease processes and bringing in those specialty people who can speak to their specific conditions.
And when you say all of the disease processes, are there any specific diagnoses that you're going to look at first?
Well, we have the CMS core measures, which are going to, obviously congestive heart failure, COPD is our new big one, pneumonia is huge, and then diabetes, of course. We're looking into stroke as well, but that's something that will probably come later down the road.
With such a successful program, I imagine you've had interest from other hospitals, other organizations. Could you explain, have you been contacted and what that looks like?
Every day, Ryan. So because of all of the different places that we've been speaking, conventions and things like that, people pick up on our program and they pick up on our names and they want to start things like this in their hospital. So I hear from places up north and San Francisco, Oakland, and then San Diego, all over the country. I had a call from somebody in Pennsylvania the other day who was interested in, being on different websites and finding out about programs. The American Association for Respiratory Care is actually going to feature my position next month for Hoag Hospital, and they're going to have an article in their career newsletter. So I'm sure after that I'm going to be hearing from some other people as well.
Hence the vacation you have coming.
Exactly, timed well, right?
Where are you going on vacation, Gina?
I'm going to Montana.
Montana, wow, getting away from it all.
I am. We really enjoy that out in the wilderness kind of thing, yeah.
Okay, very good. If I was a patient with COPD and I was at home right now and I feel that I need to get better, I need to do better here, what would I do if, let's say, I lived here in Orange County? How can I get resources?
Oh, there are so many. Here at Hoag, we have an abundance of resources. We have a Better Breathers Club, which meets once a month. We have actually two classes, one at our Irvine facility and one at our Newport Beach facility, and it is open to the community. You do not have to have insurance. There is no cost. You don't have to call ahead. You just walk in the door, and you come and sit down, and every month we have a different speaker. It may be a physician. It may be a respiratory therapist, a nurse, a dietitian, somebody who's going to talk about. We had an excellent representative who came and talked about Medicare changes to our patients this week, and it was very well received.
She was a HICAP counselor. She was excellent.
Yeah, very good, very good. So here at Hoag, we have Better Breathers. We also have our pulmonary rehab department, which you do need to be referred by a physician for that, but it's very highly rated program. We're one of the only programs that does pulmonary hypertension as well, so we're very proud. We see a lot of patients from UCLA, post-op lung transplant patients, so people come from all over to utilize our program.
Wow, that's excellent. The speaker from HICAP, can someone explain what, for the audience in case patients are listening and may not be familiar with HICAP, what that is?
I wish I could say, this is Debbie, I wish I could say I knew more about it, and that's one of the reasons we had the nice lady come. And it's a series of volunteers that work for free to counsel people about Medicare and about how to choose the right plan for them. She says she gets asked all the time what plan to choose, but there's so many ins and outs variables that we learned this week include if you're somebody that travels a lot, it's this kind of a supplemental plan versus somebody that should be in an HMO plan that might stay in Orange County most of their time. So she counsels people for free through the senior citizen centers and many other locations like that in our area. And I know it's an awesome program.
I think one of the main things that she wanted to come across was there's a lot of programs that cover the gaps in Medicare, and the seniors just need to be familiar with
Later in the conversation, we asked Gina Franco a little bit about what it would take to help patients become compliant with their discharge plan.
Medical regimen. So, you know, when you tell them, well, you should stop smoking because it's good for your cardiac health, it's not really hitting home. But when you say, you know, those lines around your mouth and all those yellow, you know, stains, they could really improve if maybe you just cut down your smoking. So, you know, and that's just one example, but there's many examples where when someone is actually in that personal space with the patient and can kind of see what motivates them to succeed, and then really drawing on that and challenging them and being there every day to encourage them through that.
And can I share that pulmonary rehab is 8 weeks, twice a week, and that's why the series of lectures, my staff get to know the patients. They have a one-to-one, but then they're there for 2 hours twice a week. So over the course of this period, we have time to affect behaviors of change, but we also have time to get to know the patients to know what will motivate them to change. We have patients that are very high level in Orange County, of course, engineers and physicians and other positions, and generally they can be motivated by science or other things like that, whereas Gina says a beautiful housewife might be motivated for other reasons. Because she's embarrassed to wear her oxygen. She wants to be less out of breath, so she doesn't need it. That might be her goal.
You mentioned the 8 week program and 2 hours for each session twice a week. Was that correct, Debbie?
Yes, that's the standard length of pulmonary rehabilitation. So it's a series of exercise and education courses. My time as a cardiopulmonary tech and doing diagnostic exercise testing, and all the science shows us that the more you exercise, especially the large muscle groups, the less oxygen they need. So the best way to feel less out of breath, whether you're sick or healthy, is to exercise more.
Great. And one thing, a quick tangent. Every podcast, we're going to have a word of the day. And the first 5 people to email gavin@24hrcares.com will be entered into a little raffle for a Pop Health Podcast t-shirt.
Okay, and wait, let me get that down. What is it?
Gina, you're funny. It's gavin@24hrcares.com. She's pretending to type it in to leave herself a note. Again, gavin@24hrcares.com. And the word of the day is compliance.
Good one.
Compliance. So the first 5 people to email that to me after hearing this podcast will receive, will be in a raffle for a free Pop Health Podcast t-shirt. And please send me your size as well. Okay, moving forward with St. Joseph. In the news last year or so, there's been an alliance, is that the proper way to say it? Can you all tell me a little bit about the alliance with St. Joseph and Hoag?
I will say that it's above my leadership level what the depth of the fullness of the alliance might bring in the future. But what I will say at my level, what it has brought so far is the other pulmonary rehab group leaders from St. Jude, St. Joe's, and Mission and I have formed a collaborative practice council where we get together, and I know the cardiac rehab team does too, gets together for a somewhat informal group meeting occasionally. And then also the real good thing is that we're able to collaborate more deeply, ask each other questions, and email back and forth. The certification process, if you're going to have an AACVPR, which is the Pulmonary Rehab and Cardiac Rehab Society, certification process is extensive. So having each other to draw on, especially from those of us that have a certified program, people to ask questions to us and share different documentation tips and things like that has been really key. The goal will be moving forward is when the infrastructure of the IT supports it, that the collaboration will become even fuller and more deeply. Because right now every hospital has their own IT system, and we don't always have what we would like to collaborate moving forward because we don't have that shared space where we can, you know, have that kind of IT support quite yet.
So fast forward a couple of years, what do you envision that this looks like? I know it's tough to predict with all the changes that are going on multiple levels, both in government and just within healthcare, and the advances that we have in technology and science, but your program, the merger or the alliance with Hoag and St. Joseph's Health, what do you see in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years?
I think Hoag as an organization has been extremely proactive organizational-wise in getting some of these things in place before the CMS changes come down. And what I would hope, you know, with everything in me, I would hope that we would sort of be that beacon for other organizations in places that we collaborate with to continue that, you know, and to look at some of the changes that we've made, and we've kind of been able to, you know, punt those problems by being proactive, and for them to see that we can make a difference for these patients. For chronically ill patients, it's not easy to make change, but you can, and it's not a quick fix, but it's something that if we all work together and if we all collaborate, I would hope that we would be a good example for that.
Earlier, Gina, you mentioned collaboration with other healthcare providers outside of the inpatient setting. What have been some key traits of the folks that you've worked with? You talked about, you know, what they should be doing, but are there any examples out there where you might say, hey, that, you know, we had three home health agencies do this, or the skilled nursing facilities around Hogue have done this?
I think the biggest one I would have to say is their willingness to make change where it's needed. Because, like we said earlier, because of the evolving issues that we have right now, things are not, they can't continue to be done the old way. There has to be changes made, and they're going to continue to have to be made. And very, very clearly, right out the gate, those organizations or agencies that we work with came immediately to the surface. What do you want us to do, and how do you need us to do it? And when you hear that from an organization, and they're looking to you and saying, what can we do to improve your patient's outcomes? How can we help you? And then even accepting, you know, having me and our other staff go into their agencies and train and educate. You know, Hogue is doing a wonderful service. They're offering this. We'll train your, you know, your employees for free. We'll come and do this for you. But to accept that, and then to come back and say, we're going to do it your way, because that's what you asked us to do, and we want to do the best thing for your patients. So seeing that willingness to comply and to try and make change for the better.
Yeah, we've actually experienced that firsthand in our organization about a year or two ago. It was a separate department, but a representative from Hogue actually came out to teach us as a post-acute service provider. And it was really neat that Hogue invests resources into helping us better serve your patients, which ultimately is going to benefit both organizations.
Exactly.
And being proactive like that and investing in that process is generally, I would say, unusual in my decade of doing this. So I really appreciate that, and I hope Hogue continues to do that, especially with the additional resources of St. Joseph. We are nearing the end of our podcast today, and before we go, just want to remind you the word of the day is compliance. And as we leave here in a few minutes, I want to go around the room with Debbie and Gina and just give some words of wisdom for the community out there when it comes to dealing with respiratory conditions in maybe a 30-second. How do we move forward with respiratory conditions? Start with you, Debbie.
I think smoking cessation is one of the keys, and I think the collaboration that I'm enjoying with the Orange County Health Department, which some of the other organizations are also enjoying, and putting the tobacco dollars forward for that are going to be one of the keys of population health management and screening and tobacco cessation.
Excellent, excellent. Gina?
I think for patients who have chronic lung disease, especially those patients who have severe disease, I think setting a goal, even if it's as simple as I'm going to be able to dress myself without, you know, having to stop and rest. And maybe it's something for, I have a patient who wants to just dance with her spouse again one more time, you know, to be able to do little things. But if you set a goal, and if you work toward it, and if you reach out to, there's so many resources. You know, Hogue is just one, but that we mentioned a lot earlier on in the program. And to really focus on that goal and to take little steps and to be able to see that you're actually, you know, improving your condition.
Absolutely. Improvement is key. And speaking of improving, I know you mentioned earlier in the podcast that there are is at least one conference coming up. Can you remind us of what that conference, I believe September?
Yes, it's going to be in September, and it's going to be at the Hogue Hospital Newport Beach campus, and it's the Respiratory Care Convention. We hold it every year. We host it every year, and it is open to the community, and anyone who's interested in registering can do that on Hogue.org.
Okay, very good. So look again, www.hogue.org, to learn more about the Respiratory Care Conference in September. If for any reason you have questions that you can't find, you're welcome to email me, and I'll make sure Gina is able to respond to that. My email address is Gavin, that's G-A-V-I-N, at 24hrcares.com, and also that's the same email address for the word of the day. Again, we want to welcome and thank Debbie Reese and Gina Franco from Hoag Hospital. Thanks so much, ladies, for being our guests today.
Thanks for having us.
Ryan, thanks for co-hosting.
Thanks for having me.
And we look forward to speaking with y'all with our next guest next month. Thanks, everybody.